Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking back to October 12th, 2021. Everything is stupid right now. Hey, if you want to convert some of your soon-to-be-worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible assets like gold and silver, or maybe you're thinking of converting your IRA or 401k, talk to Tony Arterburn, our partner over at Wise Wolf. Just go to www.macroaggressions.gold. Now, please enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gutapi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a predator!
Swangles and Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How is everybody doing out there? Hopefully you're doing something productive while you're listening to this. Thanks so much for checking us out. I know you have a million options out there, and it means a lot to me. So thank you in advance for listening to this. And thank you to our sponsors. We've got a new sponsor. If you listened to the last episode, you heard Tony Arterburn on there, and he's a really good dude, and thank God we've got a gold and silver guy in our corner that we can buy our stuff from, a small business located in Missouri. He's the guy you talk to. If you didn't listen to the episode just a couple days ago, make sure you listen to it. Tony lays it down. He's not just a small business owner. He is a U.S. veteran. He did some time in some wars, too. I mean, and he has an interesting story to be anti-war and be in that elite ranger group. Oh, boy, man, that's a tough one. But he's come out the other side, and he sees the world in a way that I think is really beneficial. He's been the he's the fill-in host for David Knight. When David Knight goes out, or when David Knight used to work at InfoWars, Tony would fill in. So he understands what we're going through. He's been through it. He's on our side. We need that ally, and we're really grateful to have him. If you're interested in buying gold or silver, or if you want to do something totally crazy and convert your IRA over to precious metals, you can do that. There's options for it. I didn't know, but Tony knows. So what you want to do is go to our website. He created a landing page for us, macroaggressions.gold. Just go to www.macroaggressions.gold, and you will come to our page. And what you want to do is there's a little spot there for you to request an appointment. Just type in your name, email address, phone number, whatever, or the best way to get a hold of you, send it over. Tony will reach out to you. He'll say, look, I'll help you manage this process. What are you looking to buy? Let's do it. And he's a good dude. So you'll be in touch with him directly. And I think for a lot of people, that will probably set your mind at ease, especially if you're buying things like gold and silver. You're dealing with a lot of money, and you sort of need to know that it's going to get to you. You need to know, you need to have a face to that name. So Tony's not some faceless guy running a big corporation. It's just him. You know, it's a family owned business. So take a look, go to macroaggressions.gold. See if that's, check it out. See if it's right for you. And well, C60 Purple Power, they've been with us now for this entire year. Thank goodness they have been, because I've been taking their products. I feel great. You've got to check it out. Go to C60PurplePower.com and just read about it. Just read up on what they're doing. Check it out. C60 is a naturally occurring molecule comprised of 60 carbon atoms. It forms something that looks kind of like a hollow soccer ball. You'll know what I'm talking about. If you go to the website, you'll see it. It creates it, it. They call this a free radical scavenger. It travels through the body with the ability to neutralize free radicals and reset itself again and again. It is the most powerful antioxidant known. That's pretty cool. They won the Nobel Prize for discovering this. It's kind of a big deal. So take a look at it. If you are in the market, go to c60purplepower.com, and on your way out, use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. They've got free shipping inside the United States as well. I think you can get in there and check it out. So thank you to our sponsors. We wouldn't be able to do the show if it wasn't for them. And so that kind of takes us to the topic for the show. I think the name of the show is going to probably give you a fairly good idea of what the show is about. Everything is stupid right now. It just is. I can't go online. I can't turn on the TV. I can't do anything without being reminded that we are living in an idiotic time. It is, it's one frustration after the next. I know you all feel it too. I mean, I get the emails. I do a lot of interacting with the audience, and obviously I'm not alone. We know that this is happening. We know that the decisions that are being made right now under the guise of COVID, or at least in the shadows of it, they're trying to transform society. And in order to build back better, you've got to destroy what you currently have. And I think it's quite obvious to anybody with the eyes to see it that they are in the process of destroying what we have. I mean, truth gone, logic, reason on its way out. Your eyeballs, you can't trust your eyes. You can't trust the money. The money is totally debased and fake. The media is totally fake. The messages that the CDC and these government agencies with regard to health are telling you, they're all fake. Well, they're real for today, but then they change them 3 days later. So who knows? Everything is fake, and everything is stupid. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating because we're just trying to live our lives. We're just trying to navigate this world that we've become familiar with over the time that we've been living on this planet. We know how to navigate our current system, or at least what has been our current system. It's not perfect. A lot of flaws, a lot of fixable things, a lot of things that probably can't get fixed. And I think that a strong case could be made that we could use a remaking of society. But you know, the guys at the World Economic Forum, their version of this new society is incongruent with ours. I mean, we're not interested in the Build Back Better sales pitch. It's garbage. It's, you know, it's fake. It's not real. It's not what we want. So we're in this unusual spot where we're being told that society needs to change. We all feel that in our soul. Well, you know, it is kind of messed up. There are some major flaws in how we're operating. So it isn't necessarily a lie to say that you kind of need to you want to build back better, right? The idea being get rid of all the bad stuff and remake it with all the good stuff. That's not the sales pitch, though. Their sales pitch is destroy all the good stuff fill it with more bad stuff, and then we've built it back better. Better for them, of course, never better for us. The United States government right now is talking about, well, they have been for a while, talking about spending $3.5 trillion on an infrastructure bill. Now, if you have read The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire that I wrote with Jeff Berwick, there is a huge chapter on the infrastructure where we go through in detail a report that was done giving the infrastructure all the, you know, the grades that they need, bridges and roads and ports, waterways, airports, you name it. I mean, railways, a lot of it. There were many aspects of this. And the highest score that the United States got in any one of these categories, and I think there were like, might have been a dozen, maybe, I don't know, 14 of them or so. The highest score we got was a C+. And that was generous. But we got a lot of D's and F's. So the idea that we need to spend money on our infrastructure actually is a reasonable idea in theory. But, oh, and in this book, in the book we wrote, you know, the from the article, we detailed, you know, how much money it would cost to fix these things. So it costs a lot of money. Infrastructure obviously is a big expense. But, you know, however you want to calculate it or account for it, you can amortize that over, you know, if you build a freeway system and you go, well, this freeway system will last us for 60 years. And you go, fine, yeah, it costs $10 billion. But if you spread that out over 60 years and you go, well, we can manage this. So the idea of an infrastructure bill on its, like, just in theory, not a bad idea. But when politicians get involved with it, they start stuffing all kinds of garbage into this. And, you know, they, because it's hard to say, you know, it's hard to say no to the COVID relief bill. You go, oh, you're going to vote against the COVID relief bill? All these people suffering with COVID relief. And you're like, yeah, but how about we take out the part where it gives a bunch of money in here to these criminals? And you're like, oh, you're going to vote against this bill? Well, we'll hang you out to dry. Good luck getting reelected. And you're like, oh, fuck. Okay. So I guess I've got to vote for it then. You make like this political calculation if you're a congressperson. And then you've voted to pass something, you know, that everyone is saying, oh, isn't this great? And then it's loaded with a bunch of pork, as they call it. So the infrastructure bill, the $3.5 trillion, that's 3,500 billion dollars. $3,500 billion for infrastructure. Seriously? How? Now, again, if this was going to be a project that was on the up and up and you were going to account for every penny of it, and you were going to get what you paid for, and the work was going to be done, and all the bridges were going to be fixed, and all the roads were going to be fixed, and all the airports are going to be modernized, and the rails, we're going to have high-speed rail going around this country the way they have in Japan and Europe and China and places like that. Okay, we can talk. We can talk about that. I mean, I think it's unrealistic right now, but we can talk about it. But that's... But you know what's in the package? It's what's always in the package. More money for Israel, you know, on top of the billions of dollars we give them every year. You know, we just had the vote on the Iron Shield. $1 billion to Israel again, on top of the $3.8 billion a year they get every year for the next decade. But we can't afford to fix the roads in our place. We can't afford new, you know, modernize the schools. We can't afford healthcare, but we can afford to give money to, you know, them. There's a real need there for infrastructure repair, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in this bill. You know, it just isn't. the president of the United States is hated right now, not just in America. I mean, it rightly hated in America, but he's hated it a lot of places, man. They're starting to pile on. Australia has never liked him. And I think that that's really funny. They just don't like him. Now France doesn't. We know about that with the submarine deal, the nuclear submarine deal with Australia and the UK and America that wound up cutting France out of that action. They were not happy. They blame Biden for that. We have a weak president. And a weird president on top of that. But you're not allowed to talk about that. The media is running interference for him. He's having what can best be described as medical theater, where he's pretending he's getting a booster shot on TV in front of like a on a sound stage somewhere or some sort of stage, because the angle of they showed pictures of, like, you know, when they pulled back and you could see there were chairs, there were people there. It was on a set. There was the window he was next to in this room was like, you know, you look out the window and it was like fake trees and fake sunlight. It was indoors. It was all everything about it was fake. And including the president, including what was in the injection, I'm assuming, speculation on my part, but I don't, but it's not like high octane speculation as Joseph P. Farrell describes it. It's pretty low octane speculation. When you say, I bet you what's in that vaccine isn't really the vaccine. Like, I don't know. I'm not there. I can't tell you with 100% certainty that they gave him a placebo or it was one of those needles that one of the trick needles that sort of looks like it's going in, but retracts back into itself. And it with the syringe component where it looks like you push it in and they have needles that make it look like that. It is 2021. We have the technology to fake injections. I mean, God knows we faked everything else, right? So my guess, my assumption, my educated guess, let me put it that way, is that the fake president who didn't get 80 million votes is sitting on a fake soundstage made to look like he's actually in the Oval Office, but it is made to look like he is somewhere else other than where he actually is. Fake president, fake soundstage, fake shots. America, right? Everything's stupid right now and fake. And Joe Biden is the embodiment of that. We've got an election audit in Arizona that has been going on for a while. And the people, and I look, to be fair, I'm not into the details of the election audit. I know that they stole it. I'm 100% sure that they stole it. I have no doubt about that. But the people that have prioritized that, the people that are really into the audit and following the audit, they come out and they say, holy shit, this audit has found X, Y, and Z, and it's really damning, and they stole it. And the mainstream media goes, the audit, election audit came out and it shows nothing. Just like we thought it would show. And you're like, okay, two completely different versions of reality happening here. And so it depends on which news story you read. If you're the one that reads the one that leans conservative, you're like, oh my God, like they're about to get to the bottom of what's going on in Arizona. If you read MSNBC or watch MSNBC, and how dare you? But if you do, then you're like, oh yeah, those audit things what a joke, man. What a waste of time. Those conspiracy theorists over there. So it's like, I don't know how it's going to turn out. But I know that it's spreading. They're even starting to do it in Texas now. Even though Trump won Texas, they're starting to look at four particular counties in Texas. So it's like they're trying to figure out who and how this whole thing was stolen. And I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of that. I just am of the belief that there's no way in the world Joe Biden got more votes than Barack Obama. There's no way in the world he got more votes than Donald Trump. I mean, Barack Obama, 2008, when he was Chocolate Jesus and everyone was going crazy for him and he was selling out stadiums or, you know, having people at stadiums filled with people come to his rallies. And he got set, what, 70 million votes, 72 million votes. And you're going to tell me that Joe Biden got 10 or eight, anywhere from 8 to 10 million more votes than him. And when he couldn't fill a high school gymnasium with people to come watch him, get the fuck out of here. There's no way. There's no way. But look, do I have the proof? Do I have the evidence? No, I do not. Maybe these election people have it. You know, everything leaves a digital trail. You know what I mean? Like you think you're hiding. You got a VPN. You think, man, there's somebody out there that's smarter than you, that's technologically more savvy than you, that knows how to expose something and go, oh, yeah, well, we'll find that. So if there was fraud in the election, somebody will find it. Now, whether or not their voice is heard, that remains to be seen. Probably not. And it's certainly not with regard to the mainstream media. It's not like the media is going to all of a sudden go, oh my God, we got it wrong. We were totally wrong. We apologize. We're sorry. Donald Trump is the new president. Everybody, let's welcome Donald Trump. I mean, obviously none of that is ever going to happen. But it is important to dig into the elections. I mean, I think they're fake anyway. So, you know, whether they stole it or what, I don't trust the election process at all. I don't campaign. I don't vote. I don't vote for these people. I refuse to vote. And I am of the George Carlin belief that when he would say that, you know, when people say you don't vote, you have no right to complain. And he would say, oh no, you've got that exactly backwards. I didn't vote, so I'm the only one that has the right to complain. You voted for these maniacs. If anyone doesn't have a right to complain, it's you. You voted for them. If you voted for Joe Biden, I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say about the direction of this country. I'm really not. I just don't fucking care. Because if you think that guy is coming to save you, then you don't understand the game. You're like asleep at the wheel. Trump won that election. And I say that as somebody that hates Trump. I mean, I don't like the guy. I think he's a shitty person. I think he's a huge vaccine salesman. I think he did a lot of damage. I still think he won. And I think, and that really throws people for a loop. But we're everything is just annoying. It's annoying to me. I'm sure it's annoying to you too. Did you want to tune into a podcast and hear somebody tell you how annoyed they are? I mean, you're probably nodding in agreement with me on some of this stuff. Look, we have supply chain issues right now. Not that that's a surprise to anybody. We kind of saw that coming. The shipping industry is a mess. The Baltic Dry Index is up 53% in just one quarter. That's the sea freight index. That's sort of a barometer for judging how the economy is doing. People can look at the Baltic Dry Index and see sort of what's moving around the world in terms of shipping. The containers, the shipping containers that are normally $2,000 to rent one of those to load your goods up into it are going for $16,000 a container. That's eight times more than they used to be. And so that's alarming. And clearly these price appreciations will be passed along to the consumers as they always are. And we're going to get hit with inflation. We already are getting hit with inflation, but we're going to get hit with price spikes, shrinkflation. You know what shrinkflation is? I think you do. I mentioned it before. Shrinkflation is when you are selling like a commercial good and you package it. I always use cereal as the explanation, but the normal cereal box normally had 16 ounces of Lucky Charms in it and it came in the box the size that you're normally used to. And you go to the store this time and it's still in the same box, but now it's 13 ounces. And you go, What? Or like your chips are all filled with air, you know, like your bag of chips. You're like, a lot of air in here, you know, so they find ways to manipulate your perception of what you're buying. They've taken the price, maybe stayed the same, maybe it even went up, but the quantity went down. And I would suggest that the next step is that the quality will go down. They'll start to value engineer things to make it cheaper. They'll get to a point where they'll say, everything is so expensive, I've got to charge more, but I've hit this economics sort of limit here where I can't charge any more for this product. I'm kind of stuck. Why don't I value engineer it? Meaning, why don't I go back and look at all the parts that are a part of this product and see if I can find them cheaper somewhere? Cheaper because they're lower quality. I got to get the price down. And so maybe I have to buy lower quality products or parts to make this product. And that's what I'm going to do. So there's a lot of ways that inflation can impact you. And of course, the Federal Reserve is going to come right out and say, oh, inflation is holding fast at 1%, 2%. I mean, they're pathological liars. Don't ever listen to anything that the Fed says about, really about anything, especially when it comes to inflation, that their job is to inflate the money supply. That's what they do. That's what they need to do. So they've always wanted inflation. Now they have a reason for it, and they can now pin the blame on everybody else and say, it's not us inflating the money supply, it's shipping or COVID. It's COVID. Let's all blame COVID. I mean, we blame it for everything else, right? Let's blame it for inflation as well. So that's something fun to look forward to, right? And then there's Harvard. Oh, Harvard, you've been held out as this university on a hill that everyone aspires to go to. So many smart people just can't seem to figure out the vaccine thing, though. They churn out the best people, the brightest minds in the world that are, you know, a lot of them compromised, of course. Just can't seem to get a handle on the vaccine thing, though, don't you know? They have made it mandatory, right? So that everyone has to be vaccinated to go to Harvard Business School, at least. I'm not sure about Harvard in general, but if you want to get in, you're in the MBA program, which is, by all accounts, a major accomplishment to have a master's in business administration from Harvard. You get the job, you know? You get that job that you're interviewing for when you've got that. But they've gone virtual. Did you know that? They've gone virtual, even though 95% of the people are vaccinated. So I guess it's not a mandatory, but it's strongly encouraged. A lot of smart people just can't seem to figure it out. Wow, all of these vaccinated people that we've got are all coming down with the virus. I guess they're just all hanging out with unvaccinated people, right? Right? That's got to be the answer, right? Right? It can't possibly ever be our trusted vaccine that we love so much. It can't ever be that. Don't you say it's the vaccine. How dare you? You're anti-science. Dude, everyone at your school is vaccinated, and now everyone at your school is getting the virus. I don't know. Maybe it's connected to the fucking vaccine. Just an idea, Harvard. Just an idea. You got a lot of smart people there on your campus. Why don't you call them into a meeting and say, why don't you add 2 + 2 and see if you get 4? Of course, they'll probably tell you that the answer is 5. Because places like Harvard and Yale and Stanford and MIT, this is globalist incubators, factories, where the assembly line turns out the psychopaths and maniacs that will run the world for the next generation. They know. Harvard knows. They're not stupid. Breakthrough cases. Can't figure out why there are so many breakthrough cases. All these people just up and got COVID, even though they're double vaccinated. I wonder what the problem is. I mean, how long are they going to keep asking this rhetorical question in the media before they actually figure it out? But don't worry, everybody, because our Lord and Savior, Anthony Fauci, is back with a decree from on high. You know, he's the only one he's the priest. He's the only one allowed to speak to God with regard to the vaccines. We're dumb. We're all dumb cattle. Too stupid to figure out anything, right? We need an intermediary, you know, like religion needs. I'm not allowed to talk to God directly because I'm too stupid. I need the pedophile priest to talk to God for me. And when he talks to God for me, he relays my message to God, and then God relays the message to him, and then he relays the message back to me, which always seems to include that they need more money, which is really funny. Maybe you'd have more money if you weren't paying out settlements for all the kids that you've raped. Let's think about that. But that same line of thinking where you have to have an intermediary in between you and the source of the information, it leads to the manipulation of the information. I mean, it's just obvious. And here is Anthony Fauci, please tell me somebody has made one of those religious candles with an Anthony Fauci on it, right? I mean, I saw that they have, like, you can find them on, I don't know if it's eBay, maybe eBay, definitely Etsy. You can find those, like, you know, the religious candles, the cylindrical ones that have the silk screening on the outside, and it's like the Virgin Mary, and you light this for whatever. They've got them for the squad. You can get like an AOC and an Ilhan Omar candle. You can get all these candles. And don't think that I'm not going to buy a bunch of these candles and use them when I build out my podcast studio a little better. They'll be there. And I'm sure if there's an Anthony Fauci candle, I will get that one as well. Because he has come out recently and said that fully vaccinated is set to include booster shots as well. I mean, right on schedule, right? Right on schedule. Take the shot. Take the second shot. You got to take the second shot. Well, really, if we're being honest about things, you're probably going to need the booster. Really? Okay. So it's two shots and the booster now? Is that what it is, St. Anthony? It's okay. You promise you're not gonna say it's two shots and then the booster and another booster in like 4 months, all right? You're not gonna say that, right? 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 He's gonna say it. He's gonna say it. He's gonna say it just like they did in Israel. You got to have the two shots in order for you to be vaccinated. Oh, well, the third booster shot's now available. Now you have to have the third shot, or else you're going to be unvaccinated. See how this game works? Anthony Fauci must be exhausted from moving the goalposts as much as he is. But much in line with the Harvard admission that they can't figure out why all these people that are double jabbed are coming down with COVID, there's also a mystery rise in heart attacks. According to the mainstream media, a mystery rise, you say. It's a mystery? Just all of a sudden, people up and started having massive heart attacks after getting the vaccine? Oh, you can't say that. Can't say that. They just had heart attacks. Did they take the vaccine? What difference does that make? What are you, anti-science? Do you realize that I have a vaccine insert from an MMR shot that says one of the listed side effects on it is autism? I have that. I have that insert. Anybody is, you think vaccines can cause autism? You're anti-science. Except for it says it in the insert. You know, these shots, the side effects include heart attacks. Okay. And then they're going, oh, mystery rise in heart attacks. No, it's not. It's not a mystery to anybody. It's not even a mystery to you. It's not mysterious. It's really not. There's no Scooby-Doo moment where we pull it. We go, oh my God, it was the vaccine after all. We know it's the vaccine. The only people that don't know it's the vaccine are the people that don't want to know that it's the vaccine. Everybody else with the eyes to see it and the brain to understand it sees right through this, which is the reason why everything is so frustrating right now. I mean, we can see this with our own eyes, which is the reason why YouTube has announced that they are deleting channels for vaccine disinformation. Okay, let's talk about this. What a slippery slope this is. Not that, look, YouTube announced this. They've been doing it for 18 months. Don't kid yourself. This is nothing new. They nuked Ricky Verandas' Ripple Effect channel, I just found out. They will come for mine too. I've had a lot of the same people on that he's had. He's been a little bit more heavier in the doctor stuff. But yeah, our Union of the Unwanted YouTube channel, I mean, that thing's going to blow up. We've had Del Bigtree on there a bunch. We've had Dr. Judy Mikovits. We've had Dr. Robert Malone on, Dr. Carrie Madej. I mean, we've had the crew. That if you talk, the only person we haven't had on is Dr. Mercola, but it's not because we haven't wanted to. We probably should. We should try to get him on. We'll really fuck with YouTube then. But this is what you do when you're losing the information war. This is, just think about it this way. These are not the actions that you take when you're in a real pandemic. When you're in, by real, I mean, we're stacking bodies on the sidewalk and waiting for the mobile morgue to come and get them every single morning. We're not doing that. Luckily, we're not doing that, but we're not doing that. YouTube is doing the things that you do when you don't want anyone to find out about your lies. They're not censoring vaccine disinformation because they think it's going to help. They're censoring anything that goes against the established narrative. But the problem with this is that the established narrative is a constantly changing set of stories. So what does YouTube do? I mean, they delete you for talking about, let's just say, ivermectin as an example, which will probably get you deleted from YouTube. A medicine that the founder, the people that the scientists that discovered ivermectin won the Nobel Prize for science with that discovery. And if you talk about that as a possible cure, a possible treatment, not even a cure, let's just say treatment, something that may help you if you get COVID, they will delete that video while simultaneously showing you in the featured section all of the videos about COVID that they want you to see that most definitely don't mention ivermectin. And then, you know, a study comes out later and says, actually, ivermectin showed a 5,000-fold reduction in COVID in just 48 hours. And that's a fact. So what? So now are you going to go back and reinstate those channels that we're talking about? Of course not. No. Because it's not about being accurate. It's not about being honest. It's not about doing the right thing. It's about shaping and crafting a false narrative. And you don't do that if you're telling the truth. You just don't. You only do that when you're trying to hide your lies. And that, of course, is exactly what they're doing. And it's very frustrating. What do you think is going to be valuable when governments around the world collapse? God help us. I hope that happens tomorrow. Money? Probably not. Look at Venezuela. They light it. They put it in piles and light it on fire to keep themselves warm. Bitcoin? Yeah. Well, you can't make a withdrawal without even being investigated by the IRS. But there are two ideas. You could buy gold bars, something like that. If you do, buy them from Tony over at Wise Wolf. They never go out of style. You can use them to beat somebody senseless if they try to break into your house. But what about a masterpiece painting? After all, governments have literally gone to war over great works of art. People understand the inherent value of masterpiece paintings. They're even saying art is the new gold, and you can roll up a painting, land on any continent on earth, and sell it. It's also been a really great investment for centuries. The Rockefellers sold their art collection recently for $800 million at auctions. And look, if there's one thing we know about the Rockefellers, they know how to make money. On average, contemporary art prices have beaten the S&P 500 by nearly three times over the last 25 years. If you've been buying paintings from artists like Banksy, Basquiat, and Monet, chances are you've done very well for yourself, but unless you're already a billionaire and can drop $20 million on a single canvas, you've been shit out of luck. But thanks to Masterworks, you can now invest in the same type of multi-million dollar paintings for a sliver of the typical purchase price. Masterworks is the first company to democratize the exclusive world of art investing. More than 200,000 people have already signed up. They've securitized more than $250 million in artwork, and they are just getting started. Like I said, art has historically been a great investment, and it's finally investable for everyday people. Masterworks has seen an explosion in demand, and their waitlist to join, pretty crazy at the moment, but I've partnered with them. They've got an offer for you. You can move to the front of the line if you'd like and start investing with them ASAFP. So go to masterworks.io/macroaggressions and take a look at what they're doing. They're fractionalizing the sale of art. I love this idea. I geeked out on this, the idea of fractionalized real estate years ago when I was working on an island project in Belize, the idea of breaking it up the ownership into smaller groups so that people, more people have access to it. It's brilliant. You can go to masterworks.io/macroaggressions to check us out and see what they're doing. And I suggest just go there. Just go take a look, read up about it. You want to own part of a Banksy? You can do it. They've got it there. It's kind of crazy. If you are interested, go see their important disclosures also at masterworks.io/disclaimer. Well, I think in the new book, I did a piece that I think is kind of important to get into, considering what we're going through right now, or what I should say, what we've been going through for the last, 18 months, let's just say it. And what it is an, it's not my concept. It's a thing called Biderman's Chart of Coercion. And I put it in the new book, Hypocrisy, which is available everywhere if you guys are interested in buying it. It's a chart that explains how stress manipulation is used to torture prisoners of war. Okay. So this Biderman's Chart of Coercion is designed to break people. But it's designed, you know, it's under the guise of doing this with prisoners that you want to sort of extract information from and things like that. But if you look at these tactics through the lens of COVID, what we went through with that, see if there isn't some overlap. Because I think that this explains why everything is so stupid right now. It's not accidental. We didn't take stupid pills. We didn't wake up one day and in a parallel universe, although it fucking seems like it sometimes. This was done intentionally. And when you see this chart, and it's not an extensive chart either, you will, I think, come to understand that this has been made to happen, and this is how they've done it. So step one is isolation. Deprive victims of all social support, of their ability to resist, and it makes them very dependent on you. Isolation. Were we isolated? Oh, yes, we were. 15 days to flatten the curve or whatever, you know, go in your house, watch Netflix, all that good stuff. Isolating, very isolating. Part of the reasons why bars are closed, right? Can't get in the pubs and talk to your friends about this and that. You know, they don't want that happening. It'd be like, Walmart's open, but the bars aren't. And they're like, because of COVID? And they're like, yeah, something like that. And you're like, why? COVID doesn't go to, I mean, I thought COVID lived in Walmart. I'm pretty sure it started in Walmart. But I can't go in a bar. Why is that? Well, you can't go in a bar for one, because we don't want you guys plotting to overthrow us and figure this out, but also isolation. They want you isolated. Second step, monopolization of perception. This fixes attention upon the immediate predicament. This is like a fight or flight sort of thing. When you are in that frame of mind, you're not making long-term decisions. You're making short-term decisions. It's like, I got to get away from this alligator right now. Where do I want to go? Right or left? You're not saying, well, after this, I'm going to go have lunch and then I'll probably go to that walkway over there and maybe I'll go stroll up there. You're not thinking about it. You're making short-term decisions because you have to. And that's what they want here. They want the elimination of information not in compliance with demands. They want to punish any sort of independence or resistance, and they want restricted movement. So they isolate you, and then they want you to focus on the immediate circumstances that you're in, and they want to manipulate those circumstances. Then the next thing is humiliation and degradation. I mean, come on. This, we're definitely living through the humiliation, right? The masks, mask rituals, things like that cover your face. Oh, AOC is not covering her face at the Met Gala, right? The only the slaves have to do that. But this makes resistance more costly than compliance. So think about it in terms of with the humiliation and degradation. They want to make the resistance to that, to this, to their agenda. They want to make your resistance to the agenda more costly for you than compliance. Just comply and this all goes away. Just take the shots and life will go back to normal. I mean, they're reading straight off out of this playbook. Personal hygiene prevented. Demeaning punishments, insults, taunts, and the denial of privacy. These are all parts of the humiliation and degradation component of this chart. Have we been denied privacy? Oh yeah. Have we been humiliated? Yes. Demeaning punishments? Yes. Insults, anti-vaxxers, anti-science, you name it. Yeah, this is what they do. Next, exhaustion. Weakens physical and mental ability to resist, sleep deprivation, semi-starvation, and prolonged interrogation. These are all parts of the exhaustion component. Are you exhausted with this shit yet? Yeah. That's what they want to do. Wear the mask work. Don't wear the mask don't work. Wear the mask, eh, don't wear the mask. I give up. You know, people throw their hands up and they go, just make it stop. I'm fucking exhausted. I can't take this anymore. Like, what do you want me to do? You want me to take the shots so that I can get my, so I can go back into the office and go to work? I need this job, you know? Fine. Whatever. I'm so tired of this. The next step is threats. This creates anxiety and despair. Are we there yet? Yeah. Everyone has anxiety. And the despair is definitely starting to kick in. You outline the cost of noncompliance with these threats. You threaten to kill people or family, or you use just general vague threats. So what they do in this is they outline the cost of noncompliance. That's what's happening in Australia right now when those psychopaths go on television and say that what they're going to do to people if they're unvaccinated. You will not be able to participate in this community and all that crazy shit. Those are the threats. This is trying to, remember, the point of this is the chart of coercion. They're trying to coerce you into doing something against your better judgment or against your will. So if the threats don't work, they offer an occasional indulgence, positive motivation for compliance, adjustments to deprivation, rewards for partial compliance, and promises, many, many promises. Get the shots. Everything will go back to normal. We would be out of this already if everybody would have just cooperated and stayed in their house and flattened the curve and took the shots. For those of you that have taken the shots, well, look, now you can go to a concert. Now you can sit in a pub. Now you can go to a sporting event. Now you can go to the Raiders game or the Bills game. Because they've said vaccination passports mandatory. It's showing proof of your vaccination is mandatory to get in there. We're going to give you the occasional indulgence, the positive motivation for complying. The last thing on the list is demonstrating omnipotence. This suggests futility of resistance. They want you to say, you know, they want you to feel that you can stand up to this, but in the end, eventually they're just going to steamroll you. Hey man, I was not going to take the shot because I think it's bullshit, but eventually, man, I got to get on an airplane. I got to go to work. I mean, I'm going to have to do it eventually, so I might as well just do it now. That's part of it. They want to show complete control over the victim's fate. So just think about these. Are these things that are being used to coerce us? Isolation, yes. The monopolization of perception, yes. Humiliation and degradation, absolutely. Exhaustion, yes, I'm exhausted just thinking about it. Threats, constant threats. Occasional indulgences, and demonstrating omnipotence. I mean, these are all happening right now. And it's part of the reason why people are starting to feel despondent, because, you know, these are powerful ways. I don't know who Biderman is, but his chart of coercion exists to this day, I would assume, because it works, right? And it works. It seems to work well. Those things will definitely break you. They will break you down. But it's by design. It's by design. And it's not, and this is not the only psychological operation that is being unfurled on us at this time. There's another one as well. And it's Saul Alinsky's plan. And are you familiar with Rules for Radicals, that book? You can, I think I've written about it in all three of my books. Definitely Hypocrisy and definitely Controlled Demolition. And I'm pretty sure it's in The Octopus as well. Saul Alinsky was I don't know, how would I describe him? Well, he's an author. He wrote Rules for Radicals, which is a book in which, in the foreword, he dedicated the book to Lucifer, which is interesting. And I think it's probably not accidental that Hillary Clinton considers him to be one of the most influential people in her lives. No surprise there. So what this guy did, he was a subversive. He was a guy that was saying, you know, this is how you do things. And people would say, we want to go protest this politician who's having a campaign rally. We want to go protest him. He'd say, no, don't go protest him. That's not how you do it. What you want to do, dress up like the KKK and go to his rally and clap every time he says something that you hate. Just clap, pretend like you're on his side, but dress like the Klan. And they're like, oh shit, that's some next level thinking right there. You know, like, oh, that's a different way to do it. So he was an ingenious guy, you know. The problem is, you know, what he wanted to do was destroy America. And what his disciples, who were Hillary Clinton and both Hillary and Barack Obama, huge fans of Saul Alinsky. And this is his plan. That he's got 8 levels of control that must be obtained before they're able to create this social state. that they want to create, this socialist paradise, you know. First one, most important one on the list, healthcare. Interesting, huh? Control healthcare and you control the people. Boy, I wonder if there's an example of healthcare being used to control the people. If only during this episode, I could think of some way that the healthcare industry is being used to control the people. If only. Number two, poverty. Increase the poverty levels as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you are providing everything for them to live. Oh, what a reprehensible scumbag you have to be to create, to intentionally want to create poverty and more poor people so that you can more easily manipulate and control them. No wonder Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama love this guy so much. He's a fucking monster. Debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. Done. That way you are able to increase taxes and this will produce more poverty. So basically, there's the Saul Alinsky plan. If you want to, and then there's like the opposite of the Saul Alinsky plan. It's like, do everything backwards of what he wants and you will have a more prosperous society. Gun control. Remove the ability to defend themselves from the government. That way you are able to create a police state. I mean, I feel like Klaus Schwab went to the Saul Alinsky School of Governmental Planning or something. Yeah, it's true. Gun control will remove the ability of people to defend themselves. Your Honor, I present Australia as my evidence for this. And one thing that America has that it's gonna need are the guns. And I never considered myself to be a gun guy. But boy, do I have an appreciation for the Second Amendment now after all this. Welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. Well, who are the ones talking about? I mean, what was in AOC's Green New Deal, that pile of steaming horse shit that she tried to pass off as some sort of woke progressive green bill? Do you remember what was in that, you know, along with all the other insanity, was a provision that said that they wanted to pay people that that were working or that chose not to work. Let's see, how many people are going to choose to work? I mean, I think probably a large segment, but there's going to be a lot of people that choose to go, oh shit, I can do nothing and get paid the same amount for doing something at a job that I hate. Well, I will do nothing to the best of my abilities. So you're going to create a massive welfare program, which is exactly what they want, because you have to destroy society in order to build it back better. And what better way to destroy society than to put everybody on welfare and make them all poor? He's right in this assessment. Poor people won't fight back if you're giving them everything they need to live. I mean, the things that he's saying in this are accurate. It's just evil. You know, it's just evil. And I just had a really great conversation with Alex, talking about this same thing with evil. I would suggest Saul Alinsky was an evil guy. He wanted to destroy things. And it's a shame too, because if you know how to destroy it, if this is your playbook on how to destroy society, then you obviously know how to build society. Because this is how to destroy it. You certainly would have the understanding of how to make it better. And choosing not to? I don't know, man. I just don't relate to that mentality. The people that only want to destroy and never want to like actually build something great. It's weird to me. Religion. Remove the belief in God from the government and schools. Well, that's well underway. And that's a destabilizing thing for a lot of people. You know, if you're religious and you find comfort in that and you have a community built around that, you know, you go on, you know, whenever your holy day is and you go and you're with people that believe in the things that you believe in, you develop this community. And it's powerful, and for a lot of people it's necessary, and it gives them comfort. It's a great addition to their life. So of course these guys want to destroy that. They want to destroy anything good. Education. Take control of what people read and listen to. Take control of what children learn in school. Critical race theory. Check. Tranny story time. Check. Marxist teachers, Antifa teachers infiltrating schools, trying to turn people into young Marxists. Check. I mean, this is the blueprint for enslavement. Class warfare. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. This will cause more discontent, and it will be easier to take the wealthy. It will be easier to tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. Yeah. So they want to create class warfare. I'd say that, I mean, I would suggest they've done a marvelous job of this. I think that everything that, you know, the Biderman chart of coercion and the Saul Alinsky 8-part plan for destroying a country, these are tactics that are being rolled out right in front of our faces. You know, they've got a strategy. They've got a strategy of keeping us fearful, keeping us down on the reservation, keeping us fighting with each other, never able to figure out what's going on. You know, I put a chart in the new book, and I think that you guys can all, you know, appreciate this. I'm going to read it off because it's kind of funny and it's fitting and it's accurate. And these are it's from the year 2000 to the year 2020. I made a list of the things for you to fear, according to the mainstream media. And these are, if you go back and look through through what was going on in these years, you'll see that these line up perfectly. Okay. Year 2000, Y2K. We're all going to die, right? Remember that? 2001, anthrax. 2002, West Nile virus. 2003, weapons of mass destruction. 2004, SARS. 2005, bird flu. 2006, E. coli. 2007, wildfires. 2008, financial crash. 2009, swine flu. 2010, earthquakes. 2011, Obamacare. There might actually be something to that. 2012, the Mayan calendar. 2013, North Korea. 2014, Ebola. 2015, ISIS. 2016, Trump. There might be something to that too. 2017, fake news. 2018, illegal aliens. 2019, measles. 2019, coronavirus. I mean, it's almost like they're trying to scare the shit out of you so that they can control you, which, of course, is exactly what is happening these days. Everything really is just so stupid, except us. We are working on trying to figure it out. We don't have it all figured out. We do stupid things from time to time. We're allowed a little flexibility, but the people that are running this world right now, they are trying to screw it up. They are trying to destroy everything that is good. They want to build it back better. That's not just a slogan. It's a way of life. It helps us to understand why these things are happening. They're not accidental. You didn't wake up one morning and you got stricken by this, you know, I just can't believe I came down with West Nile virus right out of the blue. No. They're creating situations to put everybody into a state of fear for a variety of reasons, to get us in a low vibrational state, as Sam Tripoli says, to steal our louche, whatever the fuck that is. It sounds important, and they probably are stealing it. They're trying to keep us scared. Scared people don't do well. Scared people have lower immune systems. Scared people make poor decisions. So they want to keep you scared. They want to keep control over you. They want to tell you what to do. There'll be a new fear. 2022 is just around the corner. And it might be that there'll be a new version of murder hornets. You can count on that. Because if there's one thing that we definitely know, is that the media is not your friend. They are constantly trying to figure out new ways to keep you scared, because they want you coming back to them for that dopamine hit. Try and figure out, oh, I'm a little bit scared. I need to go to the media, and Anderson Cooper is going to tell me how it all is going to turn out. Spoiler alert, Anderson Cooper is not on your team, and none of these people are. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends and family. Take that additional step. I really appreciate it. You can rate the show too. You can find me on Twitter at Macroaggressions. You can support my work and buy the book in digital format at my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thank you, everybody. I'll talk to you later.